Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, May 12th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. Thank you so much for joining us. We love to hear from you, so please, please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Again, that number, 347-857-2710. Or you can also email us here at shoes at Good Vibe Experience. That's Good Vibe, V-I-B-E, Good Vibe Experience at gmail.com. Well, this is a hot show today, so don't touch your internet radio dial, because today's show is filled with invaluable information about landing a job. Yes, I'm very excited about this particular topic. And you know what? Don't let this challenging economy ruffle your feathers. There are jobs available, and my guest today is going to show us how to get one. Alan Ladd is an employee recruiter, a businessman, and an entrepreneur, and has been making magic and helping people find their dream jobs for 20 years. His DVD, Interview the Best, targets job seekers and helps them maximize their efforts finding and landing a job. So there's a lot of invaluable information coming your way, so get paper and pen handy, and please give a nice big welcome to Alan Ladd. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited about finally.
I appreciate that nice introduction. I was very impressed.
Well, you are impressive because you demand. You're going to have suggestions, tips, steps, everything to help our listeners get a job. And I know there are a lot of people who are maybe wanting to change jobs or look for one. So I want to kind of ask you, how did you get in the recruiting industry in the first place?
I had friends that actually owned an executive search firm many years ago, and they liked my personality and they liked my enthusiasm and thought that I would do very well in the industry. So when I went to work for them, I did it for a couple of years and decided that it was time to open up my own agency, which in turn I did. There are three things that are involved in recruiting. One, you have to get the job order. Two, you have to find the candidates, recruit them. And then third, you've got to be able to prepare them for the interview. And as time progressed, it became quite evident that my strengths were teaching candidates how to actually interview for the job. And once they were taught, which is the big issue that's out there, that 90% of the public has never actually been taught how to interview or find a job. So that became my strength, preparing people. And as I did, they continued to be impressed and wowed, and they were getting jobs. And they said, if you could ever put this in a book, in a DVD format, you'd help a lot of people. And
interesting. When I asked you how you got into the industry, the first thing you mentioned was your personality. And I know your DVD talks about how to sell yourself. And you also talk about that the skills, though they are important, aren't necessarily the number one thing. So let's get right to it. What is the number one thing people really need to have when going out and trying to get a job?
It starts with enthusiasm, with passion, with excitement for the job that you're interviewing for. But, I mean, there's so many things that apply. Actually, getting the actual first interview is one of the hardest parts. And I find that a lot of people are taking one resume, a specific template, and they're sending it out to 100 companies. And then they come back and say, I don't understand why someone's not giving me an interview. And I'll always ask them, are you sending the exact same resume to all the different companies? And the response is, yes, I had it professionally done. And that's already a big mistake. Every resume that you send out needs to be tailored for the specific job that you're interviewing for. So there's your first mistake if you're doing that.
So can you give us an example? Say this a candidate has marketing and sales as a background, and the resume reflects that. And they want a sales job, so obviously they don't necessarily have to alter their resume, or do they still need to do some minor...
No, the resume, depending on what you're selling, there are certain companies that are looking for a hard sell. There are certain people that are looking for a soft sell. The word sales is already one of the biggest problems with interviewing. It's a word that's taboo, but you have to understand that if you can't sell yourself, you're not going to get the job. But as far as sales on your resume, you need to apply what you're currently selling to the specific job that you're interviewing for. So if there's a lot of cold calling involved, you need to showcase that within the body of your resume. If you're building relationships, if you've had success in a territory that hasn't done very well, you need to really focus in on that you took a specific territory that was down, and the time that you were there to when you finished it, you went from number 10 to number one, whatever it is. So you just need to find certain things that are impressive in what you've already sold that you can apply to the new job that you're interviewing for.
Hmm. Yeah, I find it very interesting, and I think we might have discussed this a little bit earlier, having been to a networking event at UCLA here in Los Angeles, and the undergrads were out there trying to figure their life out, but I find that they don't even know how to ask questions. So how do you prepare a potential candidate to go and ask questions and sell themselves?
Well, it always comes down to the level that you're interviewing for. If it's an entry-level position, well, the number one question that somebody can ask in any interview, whether it's for a CEO position or an entry-level position, is why is the position open and who am I replacing? What were their strengths? What were their weaknesses? By determining what their strengths and weaknesses are, you can apply those strengths and those weaknesses to what you bring to the party, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's kind of similar to listening to what that potential employer's needs are.
Exactly. Because everybody
you have
on
your
the team,
needs.
Yeah, everybody on the team has their own special skills. And sometimes a manager is looking for those skills that his or her team right now don't have. So if you can find out what those are, and then you can come up with experiences in your past that show this manager that you can do those things, it'll be a tremendous win for you. What people don't understand is the mindset of the manager is very, very important to understand. A bad hire can create a cancer within. A bad hire can cost people promotions. A bad hire can create someone to lose their bonuses. So thinking how the manager's thought process is going to help you. You're a very important hire, and determining what he or she is looking for is going to help you position yourself better, if that makes sense.
True, and plus, I've always thought that once you get the interview, you're about 80% there. You just need to close the deal.
Well, closing is 90% of the people don't know what closing is, and that is the problem. I always use the everything I do when I lecture, it's always audience participation, and because I want everybody in the room to hear how people close and if they even know how to close. And like I said, 9 out of 10 people don't have a clue. So if you compare it to dating, it's basically saying, I've had a great time, can we do this again sometime? It's as simple as that. But you need to really position yourself when you close, asking for next steps and position yourself, if that makes sense.
It does. I think we tend to take that first no as the end-all answer. Instead of saying hearing the no or a non-possibility of a happening and say, I hear you, I'm passionate about working here, et cetera, I have these skills, what's the next step? How do we make it happen?
Let me give your listeners the close that I teach every single candidate that I sit with. The first close is John, Mary, can you see me fitting in with the team? Is there anything that would keep me from moving along in the interview process? And they usually say, no, there's nothing that's jumping out. However, I still need to see a few more people. Once I've seen everybody, I'll get back to you. That's the first close. Then I tell them, all right, if you didn't have to see anyone else, if I was the last person, would you have any reservations or concerns that would keep me from moving along in the process? And usually they say, no, there's nothing there. It's just like I said, I can't commit till I've seen everyone. Then I tell them to close the third time. I'm closing you for a reason. I don't want there to be any doubt in your mind that not only do I want this position, but I think I could do an incredible job if given the opportunity. I appreciate your time, and you're done. But basically, you close this individual three times in a real nice way without being overbearing, without putting them in a headlock, and it goes a long way.
But I also, that's a wonderful quote. I hope everybody wrote it down. I certainly did, to pass it on. But I also think it shows other things that a direct question may not answer, that, like you were mentioning earlier, the passion, how badly you want something. And if it's, let's say, a sales position, how in a gentle way you can talk to a potential customer and trying to best help them and sell them the services that are available.
You can't take no for an answer. You have to keep pushing in a positive way. And that's the key. You just, the enthusiasm, the excitement, that'll come across. But you can't take no for an answer, as simple as that. If he says, well, I'll get back to you. Well, if you say, thank you very much, I appreciate it. Well, you obviously don't want this job bad enough because you're not going after it.
That's right. Yeah, and you know what? And that's what they don't teach, exactly. And that's why your Interview the Best DVD is so beneficial to people, because it's these skills that they really don't teach. It's a basic get a resume, every experience goes on the resume, and go in, and da-da-da-da, but they really don't give you hands-on experience of how to...
Lauren, if you think about a child, when they solve a problem, look at the reaction on their faces. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. When somebody is actually taught for the first time how to interview for a job, the transformation is absolutely incredible. They're so appreciative. They're so excited. They can't wait to go out there and interview. It's something that's been taught to them for the very first time. It's mind-blowing to some of these people. Because they hadn't thought of these things.
And they don't know. They don't know why the process isn't working, and it's
exactly.
Cause.
They go from interview to interview, making the exact same mistakes, and they don't understand, what am I doing wrong? Well, if you're not taught to do it, you're going to continue to make the same mistakes over and over and over.
So, give us a couple of mistakes that people make on a regular basis in the interview process.
I would say the number one mistake is when it comes to the person's strengths. They give strengths that actually don't apply to the specific job. I'll give you an example. If the job needs somebody to work alone, well, if the candidate comes in and says, I'm a team player, well, that does absolutely no good. They're looking for someone to say, I'm a self-starter, I'm self-motivated, and I don't need a lot of supervision. Well, now you got my attention, because your strengths are applying to the job that you're interviewing for, and people don't prepare themselves to think about what will this job consist of. And they talk about things that are irrelevant, and really, they just don't apply. And there's the separator right there in itself. I'll give you another example, and this is good for all your listeners to use this as an example. Ask somebody you know how they start their day. Describe a typical work day for me. What do you do? And I promise you, 9 out of 10 people are going to say, I get up, I have a cup of coffee, I work out, I pull out my organizer, I prioritize, I geographically break down what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, et cetera, et cetera. And they take you through this whole litany of about 2 minutes worth of information. Now, a manager is going to see 9 or 10 people on that day, and he's going to ask them all the same question. And believe me, if you ask people to describe their day, they're going to respond just like I just did. Now, imagine if you responded this way. My day always starts the night before. I prioritize. I geographically break down my day. I pre-plan everything that I'm going to do for the day. When I get up in the morning, there's nothing to think about. Now, who do you think scored more points?
The latter.
There's no comparison. Well, there's a check mark of about 10, 15 questions that are really going to come into play. And how you respond to those questions is important. Young people today, recent college graduates, their biggest problem is they lack the ability to communicate, to put sentences together. You have to elaborate. The question's going to come up. Why did you choose the school that you went to? What you have to say is, I could have gone to University of Texas. I could have gone to San Diego State. I could have gone to Delaware. The reason I went to Cal State Santa Barbara is because of my college advisor, the size of the classroom, what I majored in. It was far enough from home. It was close enough to home. You're elaborating. You're painting this picture of who you are. And even at a young age, you were a well-thought-out person. Those are the separators versus saying, well, I went there because my dad went there, or I went there to play football. Whatever your reasons are, you need to really expand and paint this great picture of who you are.
You know, you're so right. Today's generation with the iPod, the texting, really don't understand the power of communication verbally. And do have a difficult time expressing themselves.
They do. It's text speech. It is one-word answers. And some of these managers, they look at me and said, I had to shake him to get some information out of this person. So they've got to work on their communication skills, and they really need to think about their responses and why they made certain choices in their life. Why? I like to use the example of someone flipping burgers at a hamburger restaurant. It's a simple job that people just throw it away, and I always tell them it's a mistake. It was your first job. It was the first time you worked with the public. It was the first time that you had responsibility. It was the first time you worked as a team. There are a number of things. Those training that you received, the people that you work with, they've been friends your whole life, and it was an experience that's helped make you the person you are today. There, you're creating a picture, you're painting this picture that you're a quality person, that you take pride in everything you do, no matter how simple you think it is. Those are things that managers look for, whereas someone who's coming out of school and they talk about their first job and they just throw it off like, yeah, I flip burgers. Well, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong way to position yourselves. Every job you've ever had has helped make you the person you are today. And you should be proud of every decision. And it shows in the interview when you are.
That's very true. What are your thoughts about, you know, today, in my own experience years ago of trying to, you know, find various employment, that I found that a lot of employers wanted you to have particular hard skills, meaning knowledge in particular software or prior experience to a similar job, but negated to look at what we're talking about is the personality and painting the picture and how your personality will work well in the work environment and getting along with others. Because I feel that if you needed to learn a skill, let's say a software, you can always go and take a course. But if you don't have that certain drive, that certain personality that works in that workplace, then it's not a mesh. What's your thought on that situation?
Well, I think you kind of answered the question in your question. If you don't have the training for a specific need that the company has, but you have other training and you've proven that you were able to learn, retain, and communicate that type of technical information, explaining to the manager that your experience is in this, 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 and this, and you don't have any experience in this. However, I am a quick learner, I am a quick study, and I will learn it immediately. And I don't want that to be a determining factor whether or not I get hired or not. So it's just how you position yourself with confidence. We talk about training. If a company has spent X amount of dollars training you on specific formats, different technology, those are things that you want to bring up in the interview because somebody else has paid for your training. And people tend to push that off to the side. But believe me, when past employers are paying for your specific training and knowledge and they don't have to dish out the money to do that, that is a big win for a lot of companies.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, there's one question that's always been a little pet peeve of mine. How do you answer this question when the manager will ask you, what kind of salary are you looking for?
Okay, very simple. Especially in today's economy, your listeners must really focus on this. You never, ever want to give a dollar figure. You're either overpricing yourself or underpricing yourself. The way you want to position yourself in today's market is money is very important. I have a certain lifestyle that I want to live. I have a certain amount of responsibility that I need to meet every month. However, my career is more important. I have no doubt that the money is going to come, but right now it's about my career. In most cases, the manager will push you. And they'll say to you, okay, Lauren, that's great. I'm glad your career. However, how much money do you want to make? Throw it in their lap, basically. John, Mary, let me ask you this. Your number one performer, what do they make? $110,000. I want to make $111,000. My
I like
goal
that.
Is
a little
to
raise.
Be your top performer. My goal is to be with your organization for a long time and do some incredible things. It's positioning that because it's not about the money. The money is going to come. You have a pretty good idea of what they're paying. So position yourself. Your career is more important. The money is going to come. And believe me, you'll score a lot more points than throwing out a dollar figure.
I think that's wonderful advice because you hit it right on the nail. We tend to throw ourselves in the pit when we answer a certain way with a figure because we could be selling ourselves too short and we don't want to do that. And
exactly.
I think we tend, as the interviewee, we tend to not think that we are also interviewing them as a potential place to work, that they don't have necessarily all the power, the manager or the interviewer, that here we are coming to meet them to see whether we would be a good fit in that organization.
Yeah, you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you, so it's important that you feel comfortable. If they don't love you for who you are, you don't want to work for them. As simple as that. You don't want to play a game and be somebody that you're not, and they get into the job, and then 3 months later they find out that you were being somebody you weren't, and then you don't get along with anybody, especially the hiring manager, and you've wasted everybody's time. And you don't want to do that to anybody. I also want to throw something else out that has been becoming a big issue these days because there are a lack of jobs, is that there are a lot of people that are so-called overqualified that are being forced to interview for jobs that are at a lower level. And it is an issue because a lot of the managers are very aware of what level the people are at, and they are reluctant to hire them because they know that when the opportunity does come up where they're making more money at their level, that they're gone. And they don't want to take that risk, spend all the money training them, bringing them on board, and then having them leave. So it's important for those people that are interviewing for lower-level jobs to be excited, to explain to them that they have worked in this position before, they have been successful, they have made a difference, and they're looking for a new family. They're looking for a home. They're looking for an opportunity to grow and do great things for. That's the only way they're going to overcome taking a job with lower pay, less responsibility, that's going to cause the manager to worry that they're going to leave.
And I guess you need to somehow throw that in the mix in that interview, because like you said, someone can go back and look at your experience and not really know why you're applying for this particular position. So
exactly. There aren't a lot of jobs out there. You need to be honest with the manager, but you have to position yourself that without saying this isn't a pit stop, this isn't someplace that I'm coming for the instant moment to pay my bills and I'm going to be gone. You've got to position yourself that your goal is to grow with the company, move back up the chain of command, and do some great things. And that's the only way you're going to overcome that.
Well, you have given us so many wonderful tips, closing, positioning yourself. So let us know, where can we get this invaluable DVD? How can people buy Interview the Best?
I would say the most inexpensive place to get it is at interviewthebest.com, but it's everywhere. It's at Borders.com. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's Best Buy. You can go to Facebook at Facebook.com/interviewthebest. There's many places to go, but the website is the most direct, and we ship out ASAP. And I'm telling you, it will make a difference in people's lives.
Well, I mean, just with this information you've given us, it really has made a difference, because it shows our listeners that they are of value as people, and what they bring to the table is important, because where you work is part of your home. You spend a considerable amount of time at a particular position, so you might as well make sure that is a nice little family you want to belong to, and sell yourself, and don't give up on yourself. And especially these times when there are more people looking for work than there are jobs available. So
exactly. Be proud of who you are, where you come from, and what you've accomplished, and be yourself. But be prepared when you go in for the interview. And that's easier said than done. Like I said, when no one's ever taught you how to do it, it's a challenge, but I think if you take the first step to educate yourself, the transformation and the enthusiasm and the confidence, it's gonna take you to a whole new level. You just have to believe me.
I believe you, and there is a place to go to. It's you, Alan, and your invaluable DVD, Interview the Best, and our listeners can contact you and learn more about the DVD at your website, which is interviewthebest.com. I don't know where the time went, but it has elapsed. It has been a pleasure, Alan, chatting with you and learning your secret to being the best you can be in the job world. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise,
Lauren,
with us.
Thank you, and sincerely, thank you for helping people out there. I mean, we're all giving something back, and you should be applauded for that as well.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? Everybody wins. There's enough to go around, so we want to make everybody happy in what they do. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Once again, Alan Ladd and his DVD, Interview the Best. You can get it at interviewthebest.com. Join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, when my guest will be Jack Mitchell, real estate guru. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes.
So